The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning, a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topic
and asks what you think.
So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
All right, everybody. 9 o'clock hour. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Senate District 10 in Tarrant County is a big deal, has been for a long time. It is the district that yielded Wendy Davis. It's where she came from before being shellacked for governor by Greg Abbott. So I said, okay, who's going to fill that vacancy? And voters decided they didn't just want a conservative. They wanted the Tea Party, muscular, unapologetic conservative style of Connie Burton. And that was 4 years ago, meaning she is up for re-election now. How's that going to go? Connie Burton joins us. Welcome back, Connie. How are you?
Good. How are you, Mark?
I am great. It is so nice to have you. We get used to certain things, whether it's Congress or state House or state Senate districts, that if we have a bold conservative, we just figure that's it. It's a reliable, bold conservative district. 10 is very, very different. They elected Wendy Davis and they've elected you. So it's kind of purple. So what does that mean your task is?
Right. So that means my task is to do everything we can possibly do, obviously, to keep this seat. Just to kind of explain it more to the viewers, it's the only Senate seat in the state of Texas that could go Republican or Democrat. That's just the way it's districted. So we are outworking, outraising. We are executing our plan that we've had in place for months. But at the end of the day, she's just going to get a certain amount of votes because there's that many Democrats in this district. Our task is to make sure our voters come to the polls, that nobody sits back and think, okay, because we've got, you know, the administration that we wanted, that we've got a president that's a Republican, we can kind of sit back and relax, because nothing could be further from the truth. We need everybody energized and to get to the polls so we can keep this seat in November.
Those default Democrat votes that Connie referred to would be the ones that will go to challenger Beverly Powell. I saw you guys. It's a clip on Inside Texas Politics that has achieved some infamy. There's an assertion you made about a past property tax debt. It was kind of a she said, she said. How'd that get resolved?
Well, it's interesting, Mark, but the media has not really reported much on that, which I find kind of interesting. So, yes, we were on WFAA, a debate of sorts that we had. And, you know, I told about how she has been sued. Beverly Powell has had to be sued by her own city, county, and school board to pay her property taxes. She adamantly denied it, immediately said, that is not true. That is absolutely not true. And I said, it's public record, which of course it is. And even Jason Whiteley asked her, is that true? And she just kind of stopped, didn't say anything for a minute, and then kind of started saying no. And, it's blatantly an outright lie. She has been sued. We've got the paperwork. And if I may be so bold, we've actually got it on a website, beverlypowell.org. All the paperwork is there.
Oh, my God. Yes. You poach the website with her name? Oh, my
absolutely.
God.
Absolutely.
We do what we must. We do what we must.
That's right. So here's the deal. I don't want it to be a he said, she said, or she said, she said, because it isn't. It is proof. And so we wanted to put that out there because we can't seem to get the media to report on this. And frankly, you know, we've talked about this for years and years and years. Those of us that know that we're on the conservative side, any little thing gets reported. It doesn't matter how minuscule. And yet I have an opponent who had to be sued to pay her own property taxes. And yet, once was appointed to school board, voted to raise property taxes on her constituents. And yet, this information isn't getting out there. It's valid information. This is what the voters need to know. She's going to be, we obviously work on tax policy. We're going to be talking about property taxes next session. And I think it's valid information and we need to get it out there.
All right. Let's spend a couple of moments talking about things that will come up in the Senate that will be treated obviously differently, whether you win or your opponent does. What have you brought District 10? What have you brought the legislature that only you through your conservatism can bring?
Right. Well, first I'd like to talk big picture, obviously. With only 31 senators I play a huge role in any kind of legislation that comes through the Senate. The budget in itself, I have to, give credit to Senator Jane Nelson of Denton County and Park Tarrant County, who is the finance chair. I mean, we have passed two balanced budgets to account for inflation plus population, yet putting more money to core functions of state government. This is phenomenal. I have said for so long, we must get our fiscal house in order here in the state of Texas. We've always been moving in the right direction, but we needed to do more. And I came in with a class of eight. We all felt the very same way. And we moved forward with that. I'll tell you another thing that I like to talk about a lot is criminal justice reform. I've done a lot of, haven't gotten past the the reform that I wanted to do on civil asset forfeiture. I haven't gotten that done yet, but I'm still working on that. And I've done a lot with the district attorney's office here in Tarrant County on some criminal justice reforms. I like to talk about that because that's something that's very much common ground between Republicans and Democrats. And frankly, a lot of the House members on the Democratic side brought their criminal justice reforms to me to get passed through the Senate because they knew they needed a Republican to get that done. There are just frankly some, we are a Republican-dominated legislature. At the end of the day, it's easier to get legislation passed by a Republican than it is a Democrat when you've got majority Republicans. So those are the kinds of things that I offer for Senate District 10. Another thing is I tell everybody, we've got every organization, association, lobbyists down there from Austin all day, every day, supporting whatever group that they're there to support, which is fine, which is what they're there to do. But the average individual taxpayer doesn't really have anybody defending them down there. And that's the money we are using to fund core functions of state government and, frankly, funding some things that I don't think government should be doing. And so I'm always looking at everything from the perspective of the taxpayer because, we have to live within our means as families. And by God, we need to have government live within their means and not continue to take more and more taxpayer dollars.
Connie Burton is here from Senate District 10, trying to keep her there. Listen, it means a lot to you. So let's spend a moment on the issue because I'm pretty fascinated by it as well. Civil asset forfeiture. And we're all tough on crime. Let's stipulate we all want to be tough on crime. But civil asset forfeiture is when, to use the vernacular, it's when government comes and takes your stuff, sometimes before you're even convicted of something. Give us your overview of where we are now on that and what, if any, changes you'd like to make.
That's exactly it. I am for the Constitution. And as I see it, this is very unconstitutional. And I will tell you, 80% of Texans agree with me on this. So because it's under civil penalty, basically what happens is, and there have been cases throughout Texas where somebody could be pulled over for something, say a brake light is out or something, and say they have cash in their car. Mm-hmm. The police officer suspects it was involved in a drug type situation.
Right.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Transaction. Thank you. So they can confiscate this cash and keep it. And they can also confiscate the car because the car was also involved in this transaction. Well, what you have to do because it's under civil is you have to prove that it wasn't. So if it's under a criminal penalty, then you get everything afforded to you. You're innocent until proven guilty. You have to be, the state has to prove that it was involved in this transaction. And, so right now under civil penalty, it's antithetical to our system. Now, this was all put in place for the right reasons. You know, we want to get the big drug guys.
Yeah, sure.
We get, you know, everybody supports police. You know, I'm a back the blue. You know, but at the same time, we must, we absolutely must defend people's constitutional rights. And so that's what I want to change. I'd like to see it under a criminal rather than civil.
How does that happen? You mentioned that. How does that happen? What magic switch does a cop flip in order to say, oh, from this point forward, it's a civil matter, and that means I get to take your briefcase of cash and your car? What makes it civil?
Right. Well, it has been made. And frankly, my understanding, it's got a lot of long history to it. Mm-hmm. And I've learned about this over time. But frankly, apparently this came into play under the Reagan administration. Mm-hmm. You know, the big say no to drugs campaign.
Yeah.
Right. So that was what they were trying to do. They were trying to stop all this drug trafficking, use, that kind of thing. And so got this under civil. Now, I don't want to speak too definitively here because this is things that I have learned over time, and I don't have the history of it. But, you know, that's my understanding of why it got to where it is now. And, you know, it's kind of, Mark, we've probably all been there, the old lock them up, throw away the key mentality, you know, and I tell people I probably was that once upon a time too. But you start to realize that, you know, sometimes this kind of mentality can also infringe on people's constitutional rights.
Yep.
And when that does, we need to correct that, right? We need to do both. We need to be, you know, we need to be smart. What I like to call it, it's kind of this new movement of smart on crime, not necessarily tough on crime. And I'm not talking about, you know, changing anything for violent criminals at all. You know, what we're talking about is those simple crimes that, you know, perhaps need to be reformed. We can talk more about, you know, is the length of time that they're serving actually for that particular crime? Is that what they need to be doing? Or do we need to be doing more rehabilitation? I mean, there's a big, huge discussion on lots of things. And it's very interesting. And it really, really, it's our wheelhouse. As conservatives of limited government, it is absolutely in our wheelhouse, too. I mean, we, you know, I always say this all the time. I'm not only talking about state level, you know, local and federal and state. We need to keep government limited. And that also means all areas of government as well.
Connie Burton and State District 10. And the website is ConnieBurton.com, K-O-N-N-I, ConnieBurton.com. Best of luck, ma'am. Let's get this done. Let's even chat again before Election Day if need be. Much appreciate you. It really is a key district. And Connie said something that's really important. Because most districts are kind of drawn to either be Republican or be Democrat, and they reliably are. And there are only 31 state senators, and only half of y'all are up every 2 years. So here we are. It is a vital battleground there in 10, and mostly Tarrant County. And so let's get everybody over there to ConnieBurton.com, K-O-N-N-I, ConnieBurton.com. Connie, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark. You're always great.
Well,
thanks,
you
sir.
Are so kind. Thanks. ConnieBurton.com. 922, Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. How awesome is this? Tonight at Gas Monkey Live. The Cult!
With a purposeful grimace and a terrible sound, he pulls the spinning high-tension wires down.
Now, my relationship with the Blue Oyster Cult has been a circuitous one.
Helpless people on subway trains scream the guide as he looks in on them.
Before Godzilla, this classic. Before Don't Fear the Reaper, which was a great record. The Cult for me was like Peter Frampton. I knew the live album before I knew any of their actual stuff. Oh no, there goes Tokyo.
Oh no, there goes Tokyo.
Okay, this is kind of crazy. This is the second Tokyo reference in a bumper tune today. First of all, Blue Oyster Cult at Gas Monkey Live. Gas Monkey Live is a big bar. You go down 35 and Loop 12, where 35 gets where it stretches out into that that wishbone, where you go down one side is 35, down one side is Loop 12. It's right there in the crotch, pardon me, of that. It's there's a Studio Movie Grill or some such right over there. But it's Gas Monkey Live. Whoever's playing in Blue Oyster Cult, they may be dragging people out of the seats. I have no idea. But that's kind of fun. So you'll hear some Godzilla, some Don't Fear There, but some old school, like Cities on Flame and ME-262. Because I bought the, what was the name of it? On Your Feet or On Your Knees was the Blue Oyster Cult live album, and I just soaked that up, man. That was just some good stuff. God love them. They still have car payments. Blue Oyster Cult at Gas Monkey Live tonight. You're welcome. Please on Monday, call me, tell me how that show was. I bet it's awesome. All righty, 866-660-5759. The show here has been pretty awesome, too. And you've done a lot of the heavy lifting, and I appreciate it. Cool thoughts, lots of fun, lots of interesting stuff, lots of energy moving toward the election. Let's direct some energy into the newsroom, see what's going on with Gordon Griffin, then come back with a home stretch half hour. Going straight to the calls, 866-660-5759. I'm Mark Davis. Here's Gordon.
You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas.
Now, this is a head-snapping stylistic shift, even for me.
I am strong when I am on your shoulder.
How many shows give you Blue Oyster Cult? And then some Josh Groban. And the question arises, why, in fact, would I do that? Well, here's me. I love both acts. So anyway, there's Blue Oyster Cult because they're playing at Gas Monkey Live tonight. Josh Groban is at the American Airlines Center next Wednesday. So it's called Me Going to Polestar. Oh, and I discovered something else, too. Groban is awesome. He's something, man. That boy can sing. And it's probably, you're gonna hear some Josh Groban here in a little over a month. With some regularity, because it's going to be time to play Christmas music. And that Josh Groban Noel record, man, it is fantastic. But anyway, okay, last thing about Polestar. And we're going to start billing Gas Monkey if I mention them anymore. I've never been on the premises. I drive by it. Oh, Gas Monkey Live. They have some acts that play there. And they had and they got Blue Oyster Cult tonight. You know they got next Friday? Yeah, let's let these crowds mingle. Blue Oyster Cult and Flo Rida. Well, obviously, that's a week apart. Yeah, rapper and rapper say, is that fair? I mean, they're rappers. I mean, Flo Rida actually sings, you know, low, shorty got low, apple bottom jeans, boots with a fur, whole club was looking at her. She hit the flow, next thing you know, shorty got low. I've never felt so white. Anyway, Flo Rida next Friday. Hey, it's Friday. 866-660-5759. I can just see somebody landing at the airport. Oh, Mark Davis, I've heard so much about him. I'm doing Flo Rida lyrics. We need to return some dignity to the show. It's up to you. We are in Rockwall. Mike, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Hey, Mark, doing okay.
Good.
I just wish the sun would come out a little bit.
I know. I know there's such a thing as seasonal affective disorder, and I don't think I'm subject to it because I feel great. I'm upbeat. I love life. I'm blessed beyond belief. But doggone it, man, I want to see some sunshine. It is time.
No, yeah, it's time. My wife's from the Philippines, and I'm going, well, you should love this stuff. This is what you're used to.
Wow, what is she? Okay, let's not bury the lead. What is she doing there?
No, my wife is from...
Oh, I thought you said she was in the Philippines. Sorry. Okay, gotcha.
No, yeah, she's from there, yeah.
Yeah, we got her some of that Manila weather. Well, good. It's good that you're in the same country. It's always healthy.
Oh, for sure.
Indeed. What's going on?
Well, the caravan,
yes.
Of course. I mean, why people can't see this for what it is beyond me, a political stunt organized by somebody.
I don't know. Okay, it's at 10 seconds. I don't know. Maybe, but what? Like there's no such thing as a bunch of people that want to come to America and get in here illegally? It happens every day. I mean, maybe there is some fine-tuning, some manipulation, some orchestration. Yeah. Maybe, but anyway, proceed.
I'll prove my point by making a prediction.
Yeah.
As soon as they get close to our border, yep. all the women and children will be shoved to the front.
Yep.
We're going to be plastered in the news media of images of some border patrol in riot gear and a little child standing in front of him crying. And to be honest with you, now, of course, no one seems to condemn these people for dragging these little children 1,200 miles through gang-infested Mexico.
I know.
No one has a problem with wow. that. And now, the thing that really bothers me is this political climate, and the Democrats have become so lustful for power that I actually believe they are hoping that something bad happens to a woman or a child. They get beat, they get shot, they get roughed up. Something, they're hoping something bad. I mean, I believe they are hoping.
No, I know. And that is a deep cynicism, but it's not without basis, Mike. It's not. And look, are there millions of people hoping something terrible happens? No. But tucked within the den of snakes that is the radical left, they would be more than fine watching actual harm come to someone at the border if it can accrue to the detriment of President Trump. You're 1,000% correct, and that is sad. Mike, thank you. Appreciate it. Best to your bride. 866-660-5759. We are in Irving. Hey, Brent. Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Mark, you had me on the ledge earlier this week when we were talking about Michelle Obama. Now we're ending pretty strong this week, I think. But Beto's got all this campaign money. And, of course, he goes national on CNN, or what was it? Yeah, CNN?
Yep.
And what, Cruz is just shut out of that, or just what?
Okay, here's the deal. I did a Facebook Live with Ted last night. Everybody can go to his Facebook page, see the whole thing, and I asked him what happened or did not happen, as the case may be. Here's the story as he tells it. Originally, CNN offered both of them a debate date, and Ted was willing to do it, and Beto was not. And I don't know if it was schedule or willingness or whatever. He obviously was on a debate stage with Ted twice, so I don't know if he was unwilling. I don't know. Anyway, so that idea kind of went away. But then CNN comes back to both candidates and says, let's do both of you for a town hall. Like, you each get your own town hall. Beto said yes. Ted said no. Ted said, I don't want to go get interviewed by CNN for an hour. Now, if you want to get me on a debate stage with Beto, I'll do that. CNN then says, well, let's ask him. And so they asked Beto, can we let Ted into your vanity infomercial? And Beto said no. So that's why Beto was on CNN last night and Ted Cruz was on Facebook with me.
That's probably a better scenario for him. So what's Beto going to do with all his campaign money? That Dems want part of that, don't they?
Well, they do, and there is some tension in Democrat land that Beto is raking in so much money, and this kind of reveals it's like being hooked up to a lie detector. It reveals that a lot of Democrats do not, in fact, think Beto can win, because they're grumbling that some of that money, that all the money that people are pouring into Beto, man, could you maybe throw that to Claire McCaskill in Missouri? Could you maybe throw that to Joe Manchin in West Virginia? And the other thing that people are suspicious of is that Beto is raking in the cash so that when it's all done, he can take every bit of that and go run again in 2020 to take out Cornyn or run for president.
How would that work on the presidential end, do you think?
Okay, it will, for any Democrat, it'll depend on how the country's going. If the country's really going great, then nobody has any hope. And as I've said, you mentioned at the beginning of the call, the only candidate I fear is Michelle Obama. Listen, Michelle Obama, Beto O'Rourke, that is a frightening 1-2 punch. It'll come to nothing if the country's doing great. Country will probably be doing great, but still, Beto running himself, it all depends on how close he comes to Ted Cruz. If Beto is running in 2020 as the guy who almost beat Ted Cruz, that makes him a rock star. If he gets smoked by 10, not so much. That's another reason, 500th reason, why we need to get out through fire and walking on broken glass to give Ted Cruz that definitive win we need to make Beto obscure again.
Oh, hey, one other thing.
Sure.
You probably need to get your old man voice for this, but what the heck is Blockbuster?
I know it.
In my day, we had buildings we walked into, and we gave them money, and they gave us films, and we took them home, and we liked it. I know there's a Twitter account, and I'm let me go find it now. It's called The Last Blockbuster. It certainly can't actually exist anymore, but it's like the Twitter account for the final remaining blockbuster, like in the world, and it's filled with arcane references of stuff that might happen. Thank you, man. Appreciate it very, very much. Oh, heavens to Betsy. It doesn't seem like that long. That is wild. How old? When's the last time I went to a blockbuster? Gotta be a decade. God, I mean, maybe, listen, because I'm slow. I get to the point where I have all the technological bases covered, but I mean, it took me forever to get a DVD player, which is, I know, it just did. I don't think I got a DVD player until 99, 2000, something. I watch cable. I just think, hey, let's see what's on, you know? And as far as Blockbuster and actually renting DVDs, I mean, obviously, once I had the DVD player, I was like a sailor on shore leave. I was crazy. But the last time I was in I remember the Blockbuster that I went to. And it's long since been something else, probably a Mexican restaurant. And the reason this came up is you used to have ID, you know, to rent a Patrick Swayze movie, and you're not supposed to have ID to vote. Sheesh. Anyway, a couple of things. Have I got time for both? I think I do. 866-660-5759. That wonderful Mark Thiessen column about what Trump should do with Khashoggi. What in the world are we going to do with the caravan? Yeah, I do. We'll maybe do one or two more calls before we're done, but I wanted to get to this. Sometimes I just think there's something the matter with me. Okay, and I mean this in the following way. I don't know why that. I mean, like, for example, I know that like 80% of you disagree with me on early voting. I hate it. You love it. You know, we're all entitled to our view, and I secretly think I'm right. On this one, well, secretly, I publicly think I'm right. This one, I don't know. Maybe they're just a perceptual disorder that I have. Newscasts and entire morning shows are now leading with, hey, everybody, the Mega Millions is up to 970 million. Let's get out to some crazy convenience store, you know, where our guy, Bobby Johnson is standing out front talking to 4,700 people who have been in line since 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon. Take it away, Bobby. Yeah, Dan, we're out here. And how long you been in line? 4 hours. Do you have a job? No, I don't. Do you have a pot to pee in? No, I don't. What are you doing? Buying $100 in tickets. It's depressing. Don't do this. I mean, I guess it's you talk about disposable income. I think I've often said, don't buy a lottery ticket with any amount of money that you would not ball up and throw out the car window. Okay? What is that amount for you? 5? 10? I mean, you really would, like on a dare. Hey, would you take this 5 and ball it up and throw it out the window? No, I don't want to. Oh, come on, do it. Yeah, okay. A 10? No, heck no. 20? You're insane. That's it. Because that's exactly what you're doing. You are balling it up and throwing it out the car window. That is exactly what you're doing. In 99.99999999%, they go, yeah, but somebody's going to win. That's right. Guess who it's not going to be? You. So if it's some stupid dollar scratch off or some $5 quick pick thing, go ahead, whatever, because then it's just stupid fun and blah, blah, blah. But the thing is, there are people who are just eating dog food, but they're buying $40 worth of lottery tickets because doggone it, I'm gonna be the winner. I'm going to get $1 billion. And that's the other thing. $1 billion. That person's life is destroyed. It just is. Oh, it'll be fun for a year. And then your relationships are gone. Your character is probably gone because most people suck. And it depresses me completely. And what I wish we could do, and I know there's no way mathematically to do this, Because what we really are knocking on the door of $1 billion. That's insane. You know what you could do with $1 billion? You could make 1,000 millionaires. Give 1,000 people $1 million. I think that would be cool. Change 1,000 lives. Now we're going to change one and probably destroy it. Have you seen the sorry, terrible stories of people who win the lottery? They go bat poop crazy. They all their friends make them insane. They lose their friendships. Their families just disintegrate. Yeah, but I got $900 million. Okay, so it's curmudgeonly, Mark. You know what? I just think I've got to do it. I think about 14 minutes ago, I made a decision on our exit tune for today. You want to have some fun? And we're definitely billing Gas Monkey Live for this one because it's next Friday's act. I'm going to do it. There's no stopping me. It's 9:50. I had it. It was in my head. That's right. Well, it's a moment in show history. Oh, man. You remember when Casey Kasem used to do, like, the long-distance dedication and just do a little bit of the lyrics of the show, or the lyrics of the song? Baggy sweatpants, Reeboks with the straps. She turned around, gave that big booty a smack. Here's Flo Rida and Low on American Top 40. Oh, man. All right, everybody. If Flo Rida can come to the Gas Monkey, that's right. It's the least thing. It's festive. Doggone it, it's festive. Well, it's been a festive week, and it is about to get turned up even more next week. So get ready. Have a fantastic weekend. For producer Rhonda K, Marlon on Twitter, at producer Rhonda K, R-O-N-D-A, capital K. Shane Bell Band, technical guru skills and moral support. And news ace Gordon Griffin. I'm Mark Davis. God bless our country. God bless our troops. God bless our families. Have a fantastic weekend. Here comes the sun, doo-doo-doo-doo. I'd love to see that at some point. And we'll get back together on Monday to talk about the weekend. Be good. Mike Gallagher's next. Next.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.